days. I remember the chorus. They were singing it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's safe to turn back up your radio. Shay Byrne has left the building.
No, he hasn't.
Shay Byrne has left the building. I repeat, you can now turn back to Welcome My Shiwas FM. Laura.
He is still looking at us. Thanks for that, Dustin. Good morning, everyone. We are delighted to be back. Walk in My Shoes Radio. We're encouraging you to get the conversation started this Mental Health Week. It's been a year, Dustin. Can you believe that?
I know. You've ate something terrible, Laura.
You look exactly the same. Still a silly old bird.
Just a good paint job like yourself. That's all it needs. Hello, I'm Dustin the Turkey and this is...
Laura Woods. Delighted to be here with you today. We're going to be here from 11 to 1. Plenty of people from the worlds of entertainment, from sport, joining Whims FM all week long. There's loads of celebs dropping in, isn't there?
Yes, a lot of celebs and Pat O'Mahony will be here. Actually, I see Tommy Martin. Is that that insufferable bore who's on your show, Laura?
He's a great pal and colleague. What are you talking about?
The guy with the permatan from Donegal. They're not giving him live air to fill.
The Donegal Rose, yes. We'll be chatting to him a little bit later on. In fact, we've got a packed show for you as well.
Bored at man.
Now, are you going to be nice to all of our guests today, Dustin?
I am. I'm looking that we've got some brilliant guests lined up. And as you said, we've got some brilliant celebrities coming up. We have Keith Barry and Tommy Martin. And we have Nelson Spittle. And we've... I suppose you're the poor man's Anna Daly.
Well, I'm stuck with you, so that's true.
Yeah, Anna Daly and Simon Delaney will be coming on. Louise Haggerty. There's going to be loads of brilliant people over the week. Spread the word. Get us trending. It's hashtag Welcome My Shiwas FM.
We also have a brilliant competition coming up on our own show today. We're going to be telling you more about that later on.
Yes,
but for now,
you can win a dinner date with Laura.
That's not actually the competition.
That's first prize. Second prize is two dinner dates with Laura.
This is going to be a long 2 hours, people.
It's going to be fun.
Do you like One Direction, Dustin?
I do. I do indeed. I get mistaken for Harry Styles a lot.
I could see
or
the
is it Harry Potter?
Harry Potter. Anyway, this is One Direction Night Changes.
Tonight changes into something red. Her mother doesn't like that kind of dress. Everything she never had, she's showing off. Driving too fast, moon is breaking through her hair. She's heading for something that she won't forget. Having no regrets is all that she really wants.
Had a cigarette, heart is beating loud, and she doesn't want it to stop.
Moving too fast, moon is lighting up her skin. She's falling, doesn't even know it yet. Having no regrets, it's all that she really wants. Something red. Her mother doesn't like that kind of dress. Reminds her of the missing piece of innocence she loves.
Only getting older, baby, and I've been thinking about it lately.
You're very welcome back to the morning show with me, Laura Woods, and Dustin. Dustin, I've worked with you for 15 years. Do you have a surname?
I do, Dustin. Well, it's Dustin Mary Gertrude Beethoven Hoffman III, but I just really go by Dustin the Turkey sometimes.
Okay, yeah. Just to clarify, that's great. Anyway, delighted that we're here this morning once again, a year on, and Walk in My Shoes Radio is going to be live all week. Now, we're delighted to welcome our first guest in today, Niamh Bruce, who's a mindfulness practitioner and trainer, and she's worked at the Sanctuary for 12 years. You're very brave to be our first guest of the show. Thank you for joining us, Niamh.
Thanks, Laura, and thanks for having us.
You're looking very handsome, very beautiful, Niamh, I have to say.
Thank you very much.
I'd say you were good looking when you were younger.
A long time ago.
No, I wouldn't say that. Look, Laura said you worked at the Sanctuary for 12 years. Well, what? That's not the donkey sanctuary. What is it? What is the Sanctuary?
The Sanctuary, it's a meditation and mindfulness centre based in Smithfield, not too far from here.
Yeah, stone's throw, only over the Liffey. Yeah.
Only over the Liffey, and it's a meditation mindfulness centre. So it's a not-for-profit set up by Sister Stan, and we're nearly 20 years, next year will be our 20 years anniversary.
So 20 years ago, the Sanctuary was set up ahead of its time, because mindfulness has become a very fashionable term over the last couple of years. But 20 years ago, Sister Stan felt that there was a need for a space where people could come along and reflect and be cared for and minded.
Yeah, and it really came from her own need. You know, as someone who's very kind of known for social justice and a campaigner, she was very aware of how you can have burnout and how difficult it can be to sustain the work that you do. So she figured if she needed it, probably other people needed it. And it started off as a place for carers. And it was a place that if you care for the carers, those they care for will be cared for more. It's to offer a place of stillness to regenerate, to nourish you, to allow you to go back and do the work that you can do.
And it makes perfect sense, Niamh, because a lot of the times our unsung heroes are the carers who care for sick family friends, family units and so on. But who's minding them? Yeah. Because they're taking a lot on their shoulders.
Absolutely. And that kind of burnout is very real and very kind of, it's happening on a day-to-day basis. So it's to create a place that people can come and replenish. But it's no longer, so that still remains the ethos. So the Sanctuary still very much focuses on carers. But also now that it's gone to all people, so people from all backgrounds. So the heart is still the carers, but then we work with schools, we work with individuals, we work with quite a wide range of people.
So it's branched out, Niamh?
It's branched out in a way. I suppose the Sanctuary Gardens are full of branches as well. But we're trying to keep it small as well, so keeping it kind of the essence. So we'd work in partnerships. So partnerships with, like, the National Youth Council of Ireland, partnerships with other organisations to do what the Sanctuary does best, but fitting into their organisation and working complementary in that way.
So mindfulness is a term that I'm very interested to learn more about. Actually, I think Dustin would do very well from a mindfulness course.
Yeah, but as you said, it's sort of a word that wouldn't have been around 20 years ago. I mean, that's the great thing. Sister Stan does have brilliant vision.
Like, she does.
She should be running the country, never mind running the Sanctuary. But I mean, but she was ahead of her time. So, I mean, she's basically saying in a nutshell, look, the carers need caring sometimes as well.
Yeah, and mindfulness, it wasn't around. Even when I started working, 12 years ago, people wasn't really sure what it was. You know, what is this place? A place of stillness? What is meditation? And mindfulness is much more commonly known now. Sometimes there's a bit of fear of kind of over-commodifying, or a bit of Mac mindfulness is a term that they use. But I suppose it's that stillness. You know, in terms of mindfulness, what it is, it's about being present. It's about having the tools and the techniques to come to the present moment, being fully present, rather than going to the future and the past, which is a wonderful facility of our minds, that we can go to the future, that we can go to the past, but to spend a good bit of our time actually coming back to the present.
And can anyone practice mindfulness?
Anybody can practice, yeah. It's difficult though. It is challenging, and it'd be wrong for me to sit here and say it's a quick fix or it's a magic wand. It's not the cure for everything, you know, but it's challenging. It is a practice that we attempt to do daily. But in that practice, in that small thing, coming back to the present moment, there's huge possibilities, having that space to kind of check in how you are in that moment, to know how you are.
Now, Dustin would lead a very busy life, and a lot of the time, I suppose...
There's a lot of dole offices to sign on, Niamh. Getting around town's not as easy as it used to be.
I'm trying to be kind to you, Dustin. But my point is, when you have nothing on your mind, it's literally at the moment before you fall asleep. How can we stay awake during mindfulness and train our minds to be clear?
And I like that you use that word training, Laura, because it really is kind of a training. It's kind of like we learned how we learn to brush our teeth or how we learn to cycle a bike. You know, we're shown how to do it and then it takes practice, you know, trying it again and again. But what's lovely is it's not about being a master in this. It's not about striving for. It's just about the practice, attempting to bring our attention back. It's difficult, but it's not about being a master in this.
And what about young people and mindfulness? Are they engaging with the practice? Do they find that it's very beneficial for them? I mean, these days of social media, they have huge pressures on them.
Yeah.
And life is 24 hours, isn't it, Dustin?
Yeah, and you mentioned the Youth Council there. So, I mean, it is like, I mean, people do not switch off because we, as we know, you've got to be tech aware. We spoke about it last year here in Welcome Yeshua's. But a lot of people are, because the phone is right beside you, you're always on.
Yeah, and like when Laura was saying, sometimes it's the moment just before they fall asleep, and now that's getting interrupted because we have the phones, you know, in our bed, and we tend to be on it still at night time. So the young people, they do tend
Don't talk to me. Them showing your sisters ring me at all hours. It's dreadful, Niamh. Like, I can't go to Coppers. I'm only 12. You know, come on down, Dustin. 2:30 in the morning.
12. 12 in dog years.
Touché, Laura.
Oh, this is supposed to be a civilised interview. Lovely, Niamh here. Niamh, you offer a variety of courses at the Sanctuary. Yeah. Can you give us an indication of some of these courses?
Okay, so we do kind of the more intense programmes, like the MBS, which is mindful-based stress reduction. So that would be the more kind of intensive programs where they come for 8 weeks, it'd be 2.5 hours, and it's really kind of a grounding in it. But also the Sanctuary does courses in terms of like what is stillness. It's not just a stopping, it's true creativity. They have quite a variety of programs and workshops to suit people where they are in their lives. They also do programs for teachers to help them connect with stillness and then with the opportunity to start to bring it into their classrooms, like the Dot B program, the Pause B program, or our Mindful Warrior program for young people at risk.
I love the name.
You sound like Xbox games, isn't it? It's brilliant.
But you know what, Dustin? We are giving away a course from the Sanctuary today on our show.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
And we have a question here, Niamh, and if it's okay, we'll ask it now to our listeners. Where is WIMS FM broadcasting from all this week?
Well, we're up here in St. Pat.
You're not allowed to give the answer away. If you can tweet us at Walk In My Shoes with the answer, you can use the hashtag WIMS FM as well. You are in line to win that course. And it could be any number of courses that
Give us a couple of the courses, Niamh. Give us a couple of courses.
They could come along for a half day mindfulness where they come and attempt a day of silence. So they try mindful eating, they try mindful practices, and they tend to be on twice a month. So they can come along to any of those. And then we would have really interesting talks as well throughout the year, different sessions going on. And then workshops maybe through the medium of art or creativity. A new one is coming up as well on that.
It sounds sociable too.
Yeah, absolutely. Community, like in all aspects.
Yeah, sitting there for half a day in silence. Very sociable.
I'd love that right at this moment.
But say I walk in and Laura walks in. We get up in the morning, we get the Lewis in as we do, right?
Yeah.
From our gaff. But... What are you laughing at, Laura? Oh, we weren't supposed to hear. Anyway, but just say, would you be able to say, okay, Dustin, you need that mindfulness course? Or you might say to Laura, well, you need this one. I mean, do we come to you for advice or do we...
What we would recommend is to have a look at the Sanctuary's website, so www.sanctuary.ie. Have a look at and see what speaks to you. It's very difficult for us to say this is what you should do at this moment. It's difficult enough to know what we need ourselves. So it's more about kind of looking at the different programs and absolutely ringing into the Sanctuary and asking questions to kind of help you make up that decision. But really it kind of comes down to you, what speaks to you. It could be practicality. You know, what day are you available? What time is more suitable? But definitely all the courses would have a description to give you a bit of an understanding, and what we'd recommend is to have a look through them, see what speaks to you, and then
enter our competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Niamh Bruce, mindfulness practitioner and trainer, lovely to have you in at this
Likewise,
morning. I'm sorry about
you.
All of the insults.
I might pop over to Smithfield later myself.
You'll be very welcome, Dustin. Very
sure
welcome.
About that. Yeah. Niamh, pleasure. Thank you very much. We're going to have some music now. Sunrise from Norah Jones.
Looks like morning in your eyes, but the clock's held 9:15 for hours. Sunrise, sunrise, couldn't tempt us if it tried, 'cause the afternoon's already come and gone. And now
We've got to start talking about mental health. It can get better. Log on to walkinmyshoes.ie to find out more.
And that is why we are here. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, encouraging you to get the conversation started this Mental Health Week. Delighted to be here with you this morning. I'm Laura Woods, and Dustin, my colleague, is here behaving himself for about 3 seconds as well. Delighted to welcome our next guest, Harriet Parsons, Training and Development Manager at Bodywise. Good morning, Harriet. How are you?
Morning, Harriet.
Morning.
How are you?
She looks scared.
Yeah, you do look a bit scared. This isn't winning streak, by the way. You don't have to talk to Marty Whelan. It's fine. Remember him with the purple hair? Remember Marty?
Marty's lovely. Bad words said about him.
Yeah.
God, Harriet, pleasure to have you in with us today.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit about Bodywise.
So Bodywise is the National Eating Disorders Association. So we provide support and information, understanding, training for people affected by eating disorders in Ireland. So that's people themselves who have an eating disorder, but also family and friends and pretty much anyone who comes in contact.
So this is bulimia, anorexia, basically trying to... Look, it's not... We had Joanne McNally on last year.
I remember. She was fantastic.
She named her eating disorder. Was it Louis Walsh, was it? I remember. Yeah, she did. She has it in her routine. And she was telling us all about it. But,
When I say eating disorder, I mean anorexia, bulimia and binge eating disorder. So all of the eating disorders.
All of them.
And I suppose you can think about them that pretty much they're all the same when you look behind the behaviours, but they differ in terms of what the behaviours people are engaging in. So somebody with anorexia might not eat, while somebody with binge eating disorder might overeat.
Harriet, do you cater for all age groups?
Absolutely, yeah. And anybody can develop an eating disorder at any age, so...
Really interesting thing about eating disorders that I've learned throughout the course of my work here, it's not about food.
No, absolutely not. And I suppose you can be mistaken for thinking that it's about food because that's what we see. We see people developing what we would call disordered eating behaviours and then they suffer physically because they're not feeding themselves properly. But eating disorders aren't really about food. They are about how a person is feeling about themselves, and when somebody is struggling within themselves, then they can find a way of dealing with that through food and in their body. And in that way, we would always say what's really helpful when you're trying to think about maybe how to talk to somebody or how to understand what's going on for somebody is to think of an eating disorder as a coping mechanism. So it's something that a person does because it helps them to feel that they can manage day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour. But the problem with it is that it's a destructive thing. So while it helps them for a time, it also then very quickly starts to control them and it starts to have really negative impacts on every aspect of their life and stops them from living the way that they would like to be.
And Harriet, what might be a trigger in that?
So there can be lots of different triggers. I suppose the way I would think about it is that there are things that are internal to the person and then there are things that are external to the person. So things that are internal to the person might be, you might have somebody who's quite sensitive, very sensitive maybe, to how other people are feeling or how they think other people are feeling. They might be quite perfectionist or overachieving. So they might have a vulnerability in their personality, I suppose. And then you've got other triggering things external to them, which are chance happenings, I suppose. It could be a comment one day from somebody. It could be something like bullying. Sometimes it can be something traumatic, maybe like abuse of some sort. But in general, it's never really just one thing. It's usually an accumulation of lots of different risk factors.
Harriet, what should friends and family remember if they are concerned about a loved one?
So if you're worried about somebody, it's really important to remember that it's a coping mechanism. So this person is doing this because in some way it helps them. So when you try to talk to them about it, they're not going to want to...
Engage.
Admit is a word that people use. I don't like the word admit because I think it has a negative connotation. So acknowledge, I would say. But they're going to find it difficult to acknowledge that they have a problem. Their defences are going to go up and they're naturally going to resist wanting to talk about it. I mean, we all have coping mechanisms that aren't very good for us. And if anyone came up and said, actually, you know, you have to stop that, you would feel a bit defensive and you would want to resist that. So it's not a natural thing to want to give up the thing that helps you to feel okay. So what I would say to people around how to approach someone is to think through why you're worried and be really concrete in your mind, be really clear, maybe have a list of all the things that you've noticed. When you talk to somebody, make sure you've got the time and space to have a full conversation. Not to have the expectation that that conversation in itself will lead to some kind of resolution or solution. You're opening up a dialogue rather than that conversation being a means to an end. And why that's important is it takes the pressure off both you and the person you're talking to. Like, if they feel under pressure, they're not going to want to engage. So then be really clear about why you're worried, and don't necessarily look for affirmation from the other person that you're right, because they might not be able to do that.
Because Harry, you did say that a lot of time, like, if with anorexia or something, you go up to people with an eating disorder and you say, hey, you're looking well because you put a lot of weight back on. But that's not what you do, which
no.
is what I would have done, like, but just being thinking it was helpful.
That's an easy mistake to make, of course.
Yeah, that's absolutely the wrong thing. I suppose what you have to understand is that when someone has an eating disorder, their thinking becomes distorted. So when you say to somebody, you look well, in their head, they could very easily think, oh my God, I've put on weight. They're saying I look fat, I need to eat less. So while your comment is coming from a genuinely good place of wanting to, you know, to tell the person you think they're looking well, in their head it can be really triggering and relapsing. So what we would always say is, don't comment on a person's appearance. Just ask them how they are. And so when you want to talk to somebody about it, again, don't focus on the food or the weight or what they're doing necessarily, but ask them how they're feeling, you've noticed that they're not okay, what's going on with them, and that you're there to help them.
It's simple and logical when you say it like that. Yeah.
Harriet, you can recover from an eating disorder.
Absolutely possible to recover from an eating disorder. Full recovery, I suppose. And, as you know, recovery means different things to different people, but I suppose as an organisation, we would believe that full recovery is possible. And I suppose what we mean by that is that a person would get to the stage where they no longer engage in disordered eating behaviours, where their thinking is no longer distorted, where physically they have recovered, and where in themselves they learn how to be themselves and to feel okay without needing to kind of control their food and body in order to do that.
And get back to enjoying life. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly.
Harriet,
exactly.
Pleasure to have you in with us this
Thank
morning.
You, Laura.
Can I just give you a Twitter handle, actually, Harriet? It's at BodyWise. That's W-Y-S.
Yes.
W-H-Y-S. And BodyWise.ie.
That's it.
And basically, all because I'm learning loads there, because, like, it is actually amazing that, like, little things where I would have gone up and say you're looking great and all that could actually trigger the opposite thing. So it's picking your moment, and, as you say, having time to sit down with someone.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's a very complex subject, but you've explained it so well in the small amount of time we had.
Thank you
so much, Harriet.
Thanks.
Have a great
Thanks,
day.
Thanks, Harriet.
Going to take some music now. Here's Paris from the Chainsmokers.
We were staying in Paris to get away from your parents, and I thought, wow, if I could take this in a shot right now, I don't think that we could work this out. Out on a terrace, I don't know if it's fair, but I thought, how could I let you fall by yourself? Well, I'm wasted with someone else. If we go down, then we go down together. They'll say you could do anything, they'll say that I was clever. If we go down, then we go down together. We'll get away with everything. Let's show them we are better. Let's show them we are better. Let's show them we are better. We're staying in Paris to get away from your parents. You look so proud, standing there with a fountain and a cigarette, posting pictures of yourself on the internet, out on the terrace. We breathe in the air of this small town, on our own, cutting glass with the thrill of it, getting drunk on the past we were living in. If we go down, then we go down together.
They'll say you could do anything. They'll say that I was clever. If we go down, then we go down together. We'll get away with everything. Let's show them we are better. We're staying in Paris.
With the right support, we can all enjoy life. Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01 249 3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
Yes, this is Walk in My Shoes Radio, encouraging you to get the conversation started this Mental Health Week. And ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by Aina Walsh, founder of Bare Knuckle Bipolar. Yeah.
Good
well, hello,
Aina.
Welcome. Aina. I said Enda there. Aina, sorry.
No, you're grand. You're grand. I've been called worse, so don't worry about it.
I know that.
Great to have you with us.
Thanks
How are
very
you?
Much. Good. It's a bit of a surreal intro, sitting across from you, Dustin. But
I know. You're smiling away when Dustin
I was going to take touché. We could be related. We look quite alike.
Yeah.
I'd say you have a lot of luck with the ladies, do you? I just explained to our listeners, he's just a tad bit too old for One Direction, but looks pretty cool.
Like a member of One Direction.
Would that be a good way of saying it, Aina?
We'll gloss over that now, I think.
I think so.
And what about Laura? Would Laura...
I'm not in One Direction, thank you, Justin. Aina, we're going to talk about Bare Knuckling Bipolar, your Facebook page, which is fantastic in a couple of minutes.
Bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
First of all, can you tell us what bipolar disorder is in your own words?
Yeah, I'll do my best. So I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder about 3 years or 4 years ago now, 2013, in August. I had a breakthrough manic episode, which is like your first one. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably a good solid 12. I flew off the handle.
Really?
And it's like bipolar disorder, I guess it's kind of like a branch term. I mean, it's a similar, like it's obviously the same way as cancer covers a lot. Bipolar disorder covers quite a lot. So you will have, you'll go through or be prone to depressive episodes, which I had my first kind of notable bad one after my manic episode, which seemed kind of fair enough because if you go ape, you're naturally going to kind of have the fear, which I did.
But it was triggered by serious events in your life. Up until then, had you been feeling fine, motoring away, getting on with things? Because you had a very busy life working in the UK.
Well, like I'll try and take you through like life story quickly. Like, I mean, when I was born, I was put up for adoption, and obviously placed with a great family, and I grew up on a farm in Kildare.
I grew up in a farm in Kildare. I remember you now.
I was
out in the back with all the other turkeys.
You're the lucky escape of my house. That finds you.
You're in trouble, Dustin.
I went to school in Newbridge College.
Sorry to hear that.
For my sins. The usual kind of trials and tribulations as a young man.
Did you always know you're adopted, Aina?
I did. My parents were actually on the ball with that. They always told me, like, from day one.
But so, in a relatively short space of time, you went through some very big experiences. Mm. Meeting your birth mum, you moved back from the UK to Ireland because someone close to you was very unwell. So all of these, did these trigger, do you think, your first breakthrough episode?
I can't stand over and say that, nor will I, like, any doctor or nurse or whatever. But, like, you can certainly, like, look at it and be like, it it certainly didn't help. Mm. And if it was going to happen at some stage with all this pressure on it, you know, it makes sense that it happened. It happened anyway, and I don't really focus on any of that sort of stuff because I just have to react to it. And that's the kind of main thing for me. So I don't really get caught up in any of that. You just kind of, you have to try and move on. Like.
And when were you diagnosed and how did you feel about the diagnosis? Was there a relief there because you felt, okay, I'm not imagining it and there is a way to...
Well, you see, my diagnosis came for me like it would have, you know, I would have swallowed that pill a couple of months maybe down the road because when I was being diagnosed, I was manic. So like I wasn't accepting it. Okay. Now I started to realize after a while, like in hospital, like I knew I was very distressed and I knew my mind was going off on me. But like I went into hospital through an intervention, kind of like staged by my friends and family, and like it needed to happen. Now when people are doing this for the first time, no one knows what they're at, and it's not easy for anybody. It wasn't easy for them, I'm sure, essentially tricking me. But it has to be done, like,
because they loved you.
And you know, like when you go in, then like obviously in that sort of scenario, it's very intense, and like the you know, stuff gets said, and you kind of, there's a lot up in the air, and I find, and I've kind of noticed this through talking to a lot of people, let's say, who've been through similar things to me, is that like when you go in that sort of situation, and friends and family are involved, you know, they have to be very hard on you and be like, look, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're going to hurt yourself or someone else, or this is going to end in tears or whatever. And that's fine, but some of that may not wash, and there may be some other things coming up, like with, you know, issues with friends and family or whatever else. And then that will get lost in the cloud of mania. Mm-hmm. And then your diagnosis, then you have to accept a lot of things. So, right, grand, I've got this illness, I'm trying to figure out how to get better. I've also gone ape. Everybody at home probably thinks I'm crazy. I've been in touch with like former employers. Like, this is bad.
It's a pretty frightening position to be in.
There's just you're just left clean. It's not like any other illness in the sense of that, like, you don't have a shit storm to clean up. I'm sorry, but you don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do.
You've had to find a path around bipolar, creating a life that works for you. And you decided that the 9-to-5 life wasn't for you.
Yeah, well,
as it's not for lots of people, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, and like I went on a road trip with recently, and we were chatting away, and I kind of it kind of came out like in like one of these kind of, I don't know, whatever, eureka moments.
Eureka moments.
Yeah, you say something, you're like, oh yeah. So I kind of, when I was younger, I always kind of wanted to like live a bit differently. I was like, right, look, I'll do the whole like I'll serve my time in sales or whatever, and I'd love to go out on my own or do something. I didn't know what it was.
Do the gap year, become my own boss. Yeah. Don't we all want to do it?
Didn't want to be like a total hippie, you know, mooching around the world or whatever. And I didn't want to be like, you know, Jordan Belford, like, or whatever. But I just knew I kind of wanted to live a bit differently. And now I kind of, the way I see it is I have to, I tried the whole 9-to-5 thing. Again, after being diagnosed, probably a little bit prematurely, but I had to give it a lash. And I was really lucky, and I'm really glad I did, because I actually ended up with a job in Maxim Media, the company.
So joe.ie and her.ie.
Yeah. So flogging their bits and pieces, and they're such a good crowd, and they...
I was about to say, they're brilliant. I followed them online, they're great.
Yeah, and like, I basically what happened one day in work was the MD in there noticed my workflow stopped, and like, I would probably interview quite okay, because like I had a good body of work, and like I had lots of ideas, and I'd be kind of an ideas kind of person in terms of sales. I'm always trying to think of different campaigns and stuff like that, and I guess that's where Bare Knuckle and Bipolar came out of. But
that's what I was going to ask you. Finish off and tell us about Joe.ie now.
Yeah, because no, I actually think this is really important, and how they treated me determined a lot. So I mean, my workflow stopped. For all intents and purposes, for, you know, the people directly in my office, they probably thought I was Dawson. I was like, my mind was going off of me. I was starting to get really bad anxiety, like manifesting itself physically, which never happened before. And I was just so afraid people would find out. Like nowadays, you're a Facebook friend request away from everyone knowing your business. And I was kind of freaking out. Got called into like a meeting, not like a bollocking or anything, just like, what's going on? Your work has stopped. And I was like, right, I'll out myself here. But I actually didn't say bipolar disorder, I said depression.
Why do you think you said that?
I just bottled.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you feel that there was just a stigma where you weren't able to admit it to yourself at that point?
I actually felt I should disclose this in the meeting, but I was like, I don't know any, I had no one to actually go to advice on about that. Like, what do I say? And all my friends were like, they have no right to know. You know,
well, it's your business, absolutely. Yeah. So, but they were very kinda, understanding and supportive anyway.
So I had to, oh Jesus, they were so good. Yeah, they really were. And like that day, like, you know, she turned around to me and said, like, look, if you want to go home now, it's fine. I was like, no, I'll see you today. And I didn't come in then after that. And she stayed in touch with me, and my direct manager stayed in touch with me, and I met up a couple of times for coffee. And after a couple of months of that, I was like, it's not right for me to go back.
The door was open, but you decided. Yeah. But look, sorry, because we're running out of time. I have to ask you, the bare knuckle boxing, because the gym you go to, John Kavanagh, who we saw on the Late Late on Friday, with his brother James, Conor McGregor's trainer, of course. You've taken up MMA. You're doing your martial arts. So that's bare knuckle, bipolar, bare knuckle boxing. Tell us a bit about that quickly.
Yeah, cool. So basically, I started this kind of, you know, initiative or whatever. It's been called lots of different things, but bare knuckling bipolar. It's called. It's a Facebook page, and if you just search bare knuckling bipolar, you'll find it. And essentially, I kind of started that as just something like a platform to spark a bit of change. I know I'm going to be living with this for the rest of my life. So like, this wasn't just some flash in the pan, like social media hun thing. This was going to be a page. I knew it will have peaks and troughs. It had a great peak. It started off and boomed for me, which was savage. Then last year, around this time, I was actually supposed to come in and do our interview. Couldn't. Because I was...
You weren't well enough, you were saying.
Yeah, I fought. I had the first... my first MMA fight. Just amateur, like, just a bit of fun.
Was it McGregor himself? I don't think you'd be sitting here if it
wasn't. No, I wouldn't be here. And kind of after that, I felt, I knew that the wheels were coming off the train, like, and...
And you have to mind yourself when things like that happen.
And I just
be aware
kinda,
of what's happening to you, because you're number one.
And I'm, to, like, my friends and family's, like, detriment at times, like, I'm very bullish about how I'll handle things for myself now, because I've experienced things kind of going in manic and not of your own, you know, sound mind and not basically... you know, not in your own consent, and you don't have, like, you lose a lot of rights, which is really shit. And I didn't want to do that again, and went in anyway and managed it, like, myself this time. And, you know, I'm sitting here now, and I'm kind of ahead of a year in college. I'm doing photography for a year, just a one-year course. I've got some really cool things lined up with bare knuckle and bipolar, and, like, kind of personally things are going, like, real
everything's
nice.
On the right road at the
grand,
moment.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I love, and I mean to say that you were supposed to come in and see us last year. Yeah. You weren't well, and here you are, and you're looking, I have to say, you're $100 million, there you are, you're looking fantastic.
It's a credit to you that you've managed to get yourself in a position that you're really happy, both, I suppose, with your career, also sort of in terms of advocacy, because bare-knuckling bipolar is not helping just you, but it is helping other people, and not just people affected by bipolar disorder, but their friends and family, because, you know, it's the ripple effect. Everyone needs to look out for each other.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, like, it's also, I think, a testament to, like, a lot of the people around me, and, like, some strangers that send in real nice messages or whatever, like, it's so weird.
That's Lorna.
That was me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I just want to give your Facebook page, ain't it there? Bare knuckle bipolar, is it?
Bare knuckling bipolar. So just three separate words. Bare knuckling bipolar.
And Twitter is Kaya.
All then my own social media handles are Aina, so it's like Eanaah.
Perfect. Triple A.
Playing my name.
Yeah. Aina, pleasure to have you in with us this morning, and thanks so much.
Thanks
yeah,
so
I'll
much.
Come around for a spar with you. Not a fight, just a shop. We grab a breakfast roll.
I'm glad you didn't ask me about my diet, because I eat a lot of.
Oh, you'll do that.
Right. You told me he was a vegan.
Time for some music. It's Coldplay. Thank you.
a sky full of stars. I wanna die in your arms. Oh, oh, oh. Secret light of the more it gets dark. I'm gonna give you my heart. Oh.
Practitioner and trainer at the Sanctuary, and we're in a lucky position to be able to give away a mindfulness course at the Sanctuary. Here is our competition question. Where is Wimms FM? That's us broadcasting from all week. Very easy. All you have to do is tweet us at Walk In My Shoes. You can use the hashtag Wimms FM. What do you reckon, Dustin?
Good. Definitely use the hashtag, get us trending, and tell your pals, by the way, if you're driving around, tell them switch on, because a couple of good people coming up over the next couple of days. It's going to be a brilliant week here at St. Patrick's. Oh, did I just give the answer?
Oh, I think
see
you might
the way
have.
I did that?
A couple of good people, including right now, we've got Damien Clark, who's the founder of Zeminar, in with us this morning.
There's only one Damien Clark! One Damien Clark!
There's actually about eight if you Google me. If you Facebook Damien Clark.
Okay, so we got a smart ass. So we have, next guest, please.
I've got two of them here now, yeah. I'm sure you're the desk.
Founder of Zeminar.
Yes,
what
that's
is
me.
Zeminar, Damien?
Zeminar is a national youth summit for Generation Z, hence the name. What we do is we bring all of the different youth organisations who are focused and who are interested in the development of young people to come to the audience.
Give me an example of a youth organisation then, yes.
Well, Walk In My Shoes will be there, I'm pleased to say. Brilliant. ISPCC will be there, Bodywise, who were on earlier on.
Brilliant.
So these are the types of organisations who come to Zeminar, and they run workshops at the event. So that's one feature of the event. The other feature is that we have a main stage where we bring lots of amazing speakers who cover everything from mental health, sports, hobbies, nutrition.
Give me an example there,
Dave. The biggest name I think we have on board this year is the O'Donovan Brothers, so two names actually.
Oh, epic.
Yeah.
So it's
Pulled
only
like
the
dog.
It's only
Pulled
second
like
year of the event. 15,000 students.
Yeah, 15,000 young
the next
people.
3 days.
Yeah,
that's
so it's a lot
be
of young
serious.
People. It's no laughing matter, actually. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's a huge event. We discovered when we came up with the idea that there was an appetite for a new type of event for all young people. You don't have to be interested in any science projects or very academic. It's for all young people, irrespective of where they're from and what their interests are. We cover everything at Zeminar.
There'll be 15,000 students, 10,000 teachers, and over 100 expeditors at the Zeminar.
About 1,000 teachers, 15,000 young people, and 120 organisations showcasing themselves.
So it's obviously badly needed. We're talking about mental health all this week, of course, but you have a lot of advocates from the mental health community there. But you also have sport, entertainment, information, technology, careers, all under one roof. What's the reaction been like going on the first year of the event last year, Damien?
This is the second year of it, isn't it, coming up?
Well, my own personal reaction is quite good because I'm a lot less stressed now that I know we can do it. This time last year, it was a difficult enough situation, but It's going really well. Everyone likes the idea. We run it. It's a social enterprise. We've put our lives into this event over the 3 years because we want to do something positive. This is our time to do something positive. And this generation, we feel, are a generation who need it.
Now, Damien, you're young, but you're not that young. So why was the interest in specifically young people? I suppose we're talking secondary level students. Are we talking late teens, early 20s
so
as well?
It's 15 to 20. And we don't even use the word students because not everyone's a student out there. So it's for all young people.
Students of life.
Students of life, yeah, absolutely. So my background is pretty varied. At the moment, I'm doing a doctorate in counselling psychology, the same course that Sinead is doing. She just put her hand up over there. She's just finished. she's finished, I'm not. I have a year to go. Prior to that...
Failed, Sinead. forgot to tell you.
Yeah. Send me over your notes there, Sinead.
Damien, that's a huge undertaking, doing a doctorate and then taking on seminar as well. Yeah. So what inspired you to create this?
The inspiration was that for the majority of my 20s, I didn't do a lot that was very constructive. And I had a bit of an awakening, which was like...
Were you a bit of a messer?
A bit of a messer. Right. A bit more than a messer. Then the penny dropped that, like, I needed to do something about this. So I went back to college and did a HDiP in psychology and started volunteering with Feroiga, which is the biggest youth organisation in the country. And I'm a big brother to a little brother. I've been doing that for 5 years. So I got interested in youth work through that. In the middle of all this, I found myself working for the Web Summit, the biggest tech conference in Europe, as they pitched themselves.
They're not in Dublin anymore, I hear.
No, they're over in Lisbon.
Maybe
they're not welcome. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
Never mind. Seminar is.
But anyway, I put all my ideas together, my interests of events, of youth organisations, and of mental health and well-being, played around with it, and Seminar came out of it.
And here's one. Right, you're in your second year. How do you go so big so quickly? 15,000 students, 1,000 teachers, Blind Boy, Sister Stan, Owen McDermott, Anna Geary, the O'Donovan brothers.
Because so many young people out there and so many schools never get an invite to an event. And so this event is for all those people. 50% of the youth reaches in the country came last year, and there's 120 of them in the country, for example. The schools from all over the country come, and I'd say one in two from the Leinster region will be there.
It's so inclusive and such a lovely and positive event. I would imagine people are very happy to walk through those doors of the next 3 days.
Mm. See, we didn't want to make it just like a mental health summit because that mightn't be that engaging for a young person. So we opened it out. We considered all of the things that help young people with their mental health. And that includes sports and social interactions and all the different things that young people can do.
Damo, we're running out of time, but where is it?
RDS, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week.
Your Twitter handle is Zeminar Event.
Yes.
You know, Laura went to the RDS during the horse show and they locked her in a stable for 2 days. I don't know which end she thought she was.
I've no answer for that, Damien. I'm very sorry on his behalf.
Poor Laura.
Absolute pleasure to have you in with us, and I know it's an extremely busy time for you.
Yeah, very
busy.
But
the very best of luck over the next 2 days.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
I no doubt we'll hear how he got on anyway. We'll be seeing it all over Twitter, I'd say, and Instagram. Thanks so much, Damien. Dustin, be polite and say goodbye.
Bye, Damien.
Bye, Dustin.
Number 7 or 8, whatever you are.
False alarm. Some more music now.